to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. I mentioned last week as we were looking at this passage, Daniel, chapter 6, we saw Daniel's discipline in prayer. And I want to look at verses 4 through 10 again this evening. Daniel chapter 6, 4 through 10. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not. They could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled themselves, or assembled together to the king, and said unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Daniel's discipline in prayer. We saw his habit. As he had done aforetime, we saw his attitude of reverence, persistence, thanksgiving, confession, expectancy. And his basis for his prayer was the Word of God. Tonight, I want to deal with conflict. You've been following it all, and I haven't really much, but a little bit maybe you followed the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in the last half century. And of course, here they are shooting missiles over, and Hamas is there, and there's this conflict, and it's a battle, and it's an interesting thing. When you are in a battle, you shoot to kill. 228 people have died in the last 10 days over there in the Middle East. And so we understand that conflict can be very devastating. It can also be very rewarding, because it's through conflict sometimes that wars are won, freedom is given. Tonight, I want to preach on conflict. Now, I first of all, when I was going through this, and as the Lord was impressing on my heart, I saw in Daniel chapter 6 this conflict with the world. If you go over to chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, you'll see that Daniel had a conflict in the flesh. And then thirdly, we see in Daniel 10, 12 and 13 that he had demonic conflict. We see there's a spiritual conflict. So I was going to preach on all three of those things, and I thought, why? Why not just deal with these one at a time? So we're going to tonight just talk about the conflict of prayer with the world. The conflict of prayer with the world. Men ought always to pray and not to what? You know? Faint is the word. Why is it that we have a tendency to faint? Because there's a conflict. And there's a battle going on. When Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 to put on the whole armor of God, he ends that armor with praying. And we must be careful about praying that we do not give in to conflict. And so, when we talk about worldliness and worldly conflict, we know that the Bible is very clear on this. Many of you could probably quote the verses that I want us to look at quickly. And that is, first of all, 1 John. Hold your hand in Daniel, 1 John chapter 2. Now, I want you to notice here that God tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Notice what it says. Can we read it out loud together? Here we go. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we are to not love the world. Book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us, and I will let you get there, Romans chapter 2 and chapter 12, verse 2, it tells us, you ready? And be, okay, let me make sure you're there. I still see pages turning. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Okay, let's read this. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. And let's look at this verse. It tells us in James, chapter 4, and verse 4. All right, are you there? Okay, how many have it memorized? Okay, if you don't have it memorized, let's be looking at it. James chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us, ye, what? Adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So, obviously, if the world is an enemy of God, certainly the world would be an enemy of people praying to God and seeking God. Now, we are to not love the world. And I'll tell you why. Because the world will affect your prayer life. And this is what we want to just focus on. There's much we could say about worldliness, but I want you to see that the world will affect your prayer life. Now, if you go back to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6, in the passage that we read there, we see that, first of all, the reason why the world affects your prayer life is because of the pressure of people in the world. The pressure of people in the world. And it is fascinating, isn't it, that the scripture tells us that here were these men who were after Daniel, and they basically thought, you know, now here's somebody who is going to stand with his God, and he's going to be a person who is going to be the right example. And yet, they say, you know, so if we're going to have any effect against him, let's go after him and his God. And of course, what did Daniel do? We read it this evening. He, after the decree was given by Darius, after being tricked by these men, he did what? What did he do? He went to his house, opened the window, made sure the window was open, and he prayed. Wait a minute. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Why would Daniel not do this in secret? Well, let me read you something that Edmund Hebert says. He says, Daniel's continuance of his regular prayer practice was not an ostentatious or showy display, as formerly. He simply continued to pray in his prayer chamber on the roof of his own house. Daniel's enemies detected his continued praying at once. How'd they know that? Because they were spying on him. He might have closed his windows to avoid being seen, but that act would have been compromise and cowardice. By his action, Daniel clearly revealed where his loyalty lay. He resolved to be true to God at any cost. And Hebert goes on and says, for Daniel to have altered or terminated his prayer practice for the duration of the decree would have been cowardly defection. For him to have done so would have meant the condemnation of an accusing conscience, the certain loss of the approval of God upon him, and the bringing of moral disgrace upon himself in the eyes of his plotting opponents. And here's an interesting thing that he points out. Even Daniel's enemies did not expect him to back off. Now that's quite a testimony. He says here that ironically, they were actually counting on his sturdy moral character to provide them with an accusation to bring before the king. So what was the result of this? Daniel gets thrown where? Into the lion's den. So here he was under pressure. There's a time when you certainly are not wanting to stand in the streets and let everybody say, hey, I want everybody to know I'm praying. And when Jesus said, go into your closet to pray, there's times to pray in secret. But he also says in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before who? Men, that they may see your good works. So it was really an issue of testimony here for Daniel. And it's interesting, isn't it, how people sometimes can be intimidated because of the world around them. How many times have Christians just, when they're in a restaurant and everybody's sitting there and they just kind of, Lord, thank you for the food, you know, and they're afraid to bow their heads and to pray to the Lord, or to be in a group and say, let's all pray together and ask the Lord to bless this food. Many times what that is, it's a betrayal of the fact that we belong to the Lord. And again, we have to be careful that we're not doing it for show. Usually, though, when you're in an unsaved environment, you're not necessarily looking to impress people. And sometimes, you know, think about it, that sometimes they'll say, well, you're just too religious. Daniel prayed in spite of the pressure. Now, prayer can be hindered when there's that kind of pressure because, you know, because somebody just doesn't like it. Family altar. Oh, Dad, do we have to read the Bible again? You know, and so how many families say, oh, well, okay, we'll just not do that. Or maybe in the case of talking to someone and they're maybe sharing something. Have you ever just said, hey, let's pray about that? Can we pray right now? That's a wonderful thing to do. Brother Tom has had a miraculous surgery in the last couple weeks and he had his cataracts removed. And, you know, he's going and I said, let's pray. But how often do we not pray? You know, what about if you're at work and somebody said, you know, my family's falling apart, my wife's leaving me. And if it's an appropriate time, you know, in other words, you're on the boss's time, so you got to always be careful of that. But do you say, can we pray about that right now? It won't take but a minute. But many times we don't because of the pressure of people in the world. And we need to always remember, okay, so there's a time to pray and there's a time to not pray. And there's a time where, you know, sometimes somebody will say, man, I really appreciate the fact that you prayed with me over that. That tells me that you believe in God. And the pressure of the people in the world sometimes can cause us to play secret Christian. But even more so, it can cause us from calling down the power of God in that situation. You see, the world will many times attack us in our mind regarding prayer. The second way in which the world will affect your prayer life are not only the pressures of the people in the world, but the cares of the world. The cares of the world. Now, if you hold your hand go over to the book of Matthew, hold your hand in Daniel, Matthew chapter 13. This is the parable of the sower. And in Matthew chapter 13, we're told in this passage of Scripture, in verse 22, regarding the parable of the sower, it talks about the seed that fell among thorns. Look at verse 22. He that also that receives seed among thorns, as he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, what does it do to the word? So in other words, cares can choke the word of God. And it can choke us from even having a heart for the word of God. Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we understand that because of that, that sometimes what that means is that here, if you could kind of picture it this way, here's the things of the world, and maybe in my life, you know, things are good with God and I'm praying. But as the world comes in, the things of God get pushed out. And didn't we see, for instance, if any man loved the world, the love of the Father's not in him? He that is a friend of the world is what? An enemy of God. It's really a contrasting force. Now, what are the cares of the world? Now, we consider, for instance, the concerns of life is what we're dealing with. The things that weigh us down. And we start getting too busy sometimes to pray. And Daniel, it's interesting, if you come back there to Daniel chapter 6, it tells us that Daniel had a pretty prestigious job. We were talking about Matthew with his job. You know, Daniel had a pretty prestigious job. He was one of the big wigs in the kingdom. And he was actually over the big wigs of the kingdom. How busy is that? And I can imagine he was so wrapped up in the affairs of his responsibilities that he probably was tempted many times to not pray. But yet, we're told in verse 10 of chapter 6, how often did he pray? Three times in a day, as he often did aforehand. He made that a habit. And in spite of the busyness of his responsibilities, Daniel prayed. And he did not let the world push out his prayer life. Now, we have things that can do that. Our jobs, or bills, or worries, or parenting. Or, you know, we could just go on and on and on with all the things that we have to do. And if we're not very careful, then we can find our prayer life being pushed aside. Was it Luther that said that he had so much to do today, I need more time to pray? Because the more we have to do, the more we need God to help us through those things we have to do. So the world will affect your prayer life because of the pressure of the people of the world, because of the cares of the world, but thirdly, because of the lusts of the world. The lusts of the world. Now again, that gets us back to really the heart of the matter is, because what is a lust? Anybody know what is a lust? It's a strong desire. So we are talking about pushing out this desire by bringing in this desire. This is really what we're talking about. When God says to love not the world, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When that comes in, the other goes out. And when our hearts go after the lusts of the world, our hearts get colder for fellowship with God. And because of that choking out of the Word of God, we can find ourselves really not being very motivated to pray. And so it's interesting because you look there in Daniel chapter 6, verse 5, what were they going after? They were going after anything that concerned, verse 5, the law of his God. And Daniel kept God's law in his heart. The Bible tells us in the last days, iniquity is going to abound. Why? Because of the love of many shall wax cold. So we can get very cold. And we can find ourselves not praying. And this is why we see that we should not only pray, but stay close to God's Word. See, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, let's get into the Word of God, which will produce faith, which will help us in our faith. And then as God helps us with our faith, it's going to help us to pray. Now, I know this by experience, what I'm talking about. And sometimes you find people who they just have no motivation at all for spiritual things. And I can't think of anything more spiritual than prayer. And yet, if you were to follow them around, and I do sometimes by asking questions, what do you do with this? How are you spending this time and so forth? You're going to find out that often they have become very, very distracted by the things of this world that really they just don't have a heart to pray. Interesting illustration. It's an illustration that says that Sir Robert Ball, the great astronomer, said that a man who carries a sack of corn on Earth could as easily carry six sacks of corn on a globe the size of the moon. He said, but in a world as vast as the sun, so if you can imagine if the Earth was as big as the sun, even to pull out a watch from the pocket would be to tug at a weight of 5 or 6 pounds. And it would be impossible to lift an arm. And if once a man were to lie down there, he could never get up again. Can you imagine gravity so strong that you fell down, you couldn't get back up? So, in the spiritual realm, the illustration says, the weight of our burdens depends upon the attraction of the earth. And if the world is all to us, Alas, how true it is that its burdens crush us. And we are so focused on these things of the earth. So what am I saying? I'm saying be careful about getting too close to the things of this world. Now be careful here. Now obviously I'm not just talking about bad things, okay? Obviously we should stay away from the ungodly immorality, the ungodly things of this world. But what about things that are not necessarily bad in themselves, but they tend to suck us in to their spell? Can I put it that way? So be careful about that, whether it be friends, whether it be entertainment, whether it be media, whether it be news, whether it be sports, whether it be work, whether it be hobbies. They all may be okay, but guard against anything that pulls your heart away from God, where you're more excited about that than God. And do we need to wonder, when people are so prone to gravitate toward these things, do we need to wonder why they don't really have a heart to pray? And they don't have a heart that would say, oh God, work in our hearts, work in our country, work in our church, work in my family. And to really get down to business to pray. And we need to be careful about those things that pulls our heart away from God, causing us to lose motivation to pray. Now what I'm saying, I know what I'm talking about. This is not a bunch of fluff. What I'm saying is that the things of this world will tend to push us away from God. And that's the big danger of worldliness. And you know what? Daniel didn't let that happen. Oh, Daniel, dearly beloved of God, Daniel is described. He had an excellent spirit. So don't let the people put pressure on you regarding prayer. Don't let the cares of this life just push God out of your life. Don't let the desires that you have push away your desire for God. Terrible, terrible distraction. And that's only one of them. Because the world's going to do that. Your flesh is going to do that. And the devil is going to do that. No wonder he fears prayer so much. Now, Lord, we come before you with hearts that are prone to wander, as the hymn writer wrote. And we can feel it. We know that sometimes our tendency is to get away from you. And I ask, Lord, that you'd forgive us for that. And I ask, dear God, that you would help us to understand that this conflict in prayer that we're constantly facing is certainly going to be attacked by the world. And Father, I pray that you would just guide and direct us now. Help us, Lord, to truly put you first. And no wonder your word tells us that the greatest commandment is to love you and not the world with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we ask this in Jesus' name, that you'd help us to pray, teach us to pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.